There are a couple of Patreon supporters we got to thank for supporting us this month. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Let's kick it off. Thank you, Adam.
Adam Marks.
Andrew Richardson.
Ashton Gebhard.
Brett Macris.
Curtis LaRocque.
Demand Ryan.
Dan Snow.
Daniel Fuentes.
Dennis Scott.
Enrique.
Aaron Dorian.
Jeffrey Reicher.
Hugo Sanchez.
Jason Kelly.
John George.
Jonathan Jong.
Joseph Kelly.
Joshua W. Broxson.
Kaylin Swift.
Catherine Aidenson.
Kevin Kleinrock.
Lee Brown.
Lucas Sink.
Marcus Little.
Mark Kiefer.
Matt Fennell.
Michael Sturgeon.
Mitchell McDonald.
Omna Solo Art. Soul Art.
You're doing good. Perry Taliaferro.
Primetime Pauly G.
Rahadian Sastro Wadoyo.
Riley Trahan.
Terrible Jason.
The 12 Bench.
Trevor Matthew.
Victor Perez.
W. Blaine.
Weens 234.
Zane Daniel.
Zekra's Viral Comics.
Again, thank you guys so much for your support and enjoy the live show.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Peach.
All right, what is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Peach.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime. What's up, guys? This is a special show.
This is a very special show. This is the last show that we are going to be doing, last live show, before Riverdale returns for season 3.
And then our lives will be changed forever.
Yes, I think so. I think we'll finally be adults. What do you think, Pete?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you think maybe we'll finally have sex?
I don't know.
I don't mean you.
Don't jinx it, man.
But I'd be into it.
If you talk about it too much, it'll jinx it.
If you want. But yeah, that's a big, exciting thing. We do a regular Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark.
Right.
So that's going to be coming back. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also part of the reason, the other thing that makes this show special.
Right. What?
Right.
Yeah, what's the other thing?
What's the other thing?
Yeah, what's the other thing?
You want me to say what the other thing
is? Yeah, I do.
All right. This show actually has a sponsor. This show is sponsored by John's undying love for Aaron.
Yeah! Love is real.
That's
love is real.
These are, I should just mention, two incredible fans of the show, super Riverdale fans. We
guys
love having around.
They're such great fans. They brought cupcakes for everybody.
Yeah, everybody gets cupcakes. I think from now on we're going to require when anybody sponsors the show, whether for love or otherwise, they bring cupcakes. I think,
and we're also supposed to say glub 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 glub.
And Starfish loves you.
That's right.
Yeah.
We did.
That's unrelated to what's going on here. Just, I wanted to say to you, Starfish loves you.
No, Starfish loves you.
Glub, glub, glub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
And one other thing. We got a present. Do you want to grab the present? This is a present for Aaron. Because Aaron really
Present for Aaron.
Yeah, wander around for a little bit. That's good stagecraft, Pete. So this is a present for Aaron. This is, again, since such a big Riverdale fan, this is a copy of every issue of the Riverdale comic book that's been published so far, which was signed by me, Pete, and Justin. So now they're ruined.
Yeah, we ruined every single comic just for you. Ruined every one of them.
Yeah, there we go. We got it signed by the least valuable people involved with Riverdale.
That's right.
And
so
that's great.
I feel like that's a great way to ruin stuff. So going around is a cupcakes, and they also have to-go containers. So if you're like, oh, my God, just ate. I don't want to have a cupcake right now.
What is that?
Put a cupcake in a to-go container. All right? So take one and pass it.
And if you're listening at home, do the same thing, please. Put a cupcake in a to-go container.
That's right.
And then just leave. Just leave your house. Stop listening to the podcast. Just get out of here. Guys, I'm very excited about the guests that we have.
Yeah, we have a show we're going to do on top of all this.
On top of that? Holy shit.
Yeah.
I thought the cupcakes were the pinnacle.
It kind of is.
But it turns out this is actually the pinnacle. They are the creators of the new comic book that's on Kickstarter that we're about to talk about. Very excited to talk about this. Dracula Gate. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Hastings and Branson Reeves.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back. All right. Yeah. Welcome around. There you go. Grab a seat. Grab a microphone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Oh, boy. Very excited to have you guys here to talk about Dracula Gate. First, what are your feelings on the show Riverdale on the CW? Do you love it? Is it the best?
Big fan, yeah. I don't know like the audience is like feeling on Riverdale. Holy shit, I love it.
Yeah, a little cupcake. Yeah.
Riverdale, dig it, baby.
Yeah.
Don't mind if I do.
Hey.
I have a long standing thing where I don't eat cupcakes on mic.
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay.
All right, two for me.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Oh, thanks
you're
so
gonna,
much.
You're going to find out why.
I'm just going to
You eat it, you're going to find out.
Nah, I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll
whatever happened to you won't happen to me.
Yeah, I'm going to. Are you fucking kidding me?
What's up?
I'm going to have a cupcake. No, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
eat. Anyway, Riverdale, excellent
Wait,
show.
Sorry, I just want to mention this reminds
That's
me
how adorable
the last,
these are. They made
the last
that Riverdale
three shows we've talked about. How Pete has gotten sick eating sweets, so I just got, like, a little worried.
It won't happen this time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Today's the day where a different thing's going to happen.
Yeah.
Wait, so show Riverdale, you...
I love it. I can't get enough of it. I think it's, like, the best lit show on television. Like, everything's pink and purple and neon.
It really is. Like, the crew is very good, and they do a much better job than you expect for, like, a teen drama lighting the show.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I think it, like, pays... I think it pays like the perfect amount of respect to the source material, which is like none. Just like characters get killed, like it's like this Twin Peaks like sex farce that has very little to do. I don't know. I haven't read the comics since I was like a child and was just in line at
it's
the grocery store.
It's very not similar.
Yeah, I think it's totally different, right?
Yeah.
Unless there's. I'm sure there are newer Archie comics that it's
there are there, there's newer Archie comics that kind of like split the difference a little bit, but they don't go that far.
Yeah, I like that it goes far.
These cupcakes are amazing. I've never had
really?
Magnolia Bakery before. This is like really impressive.
There's every chance in the world that this is the show that kills Pete. I just want to mention that. All right, let's stop talking about
by Magnolia Bakery. That's Magnolia Bakery killing Pete. I don't think we've introduced ourselves real quick.
No, you haven't, please.
Branson was the one who had opinions about Riverdale, and I, Chris, have never seen it.
Yes.
But you're both working on a new comic, Dracula Gate, which is on Kickstarter now. The Kickstarter is open until November 4th, I believe.
Yeah, we're not even a full week in on this bad boy.
But you already have like $12,000 or something?
Yeah, we're doing pretty well. I think we're close to 30% of our goal.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Putting together a Kickstarter, we're doing it with Make That Thing, an offshoot of Topatico, and they basically run Kickstarters. And doing it through them with an actual spreadsheet of expenses and stuff like that, it was horrifying to see how expensive it is to make a comic book.
Wow.
For those who don't know, what is the biggest expense? What's the bulk of it? Or is it spread across?
I mean, paying them to do that spreadsheet.
It's a really nice spreadsheet.
So just
no, it's like shipping and handling is a huge one.
Yeah.
Making sure a book will show up in someone's house undamaged is a massive. And the printing costs, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked to a bunch of people on Kickstarters, and I did a Kickstarter myself, and I think that's the thing that people don't plan in for. They're like, oh, it's going to be this much printing cost, this much advertising, I got to pay the artist this much, or mm-hmm. the letterer, or whoever, and then they don't factor in, like, envelopes. Like, you have to pay
for
envelopes.
Yeah. And like, you have to pay for the person who is going to stuff the envelopes.
Right.
The handling.
That's
what the handling was all this time.
Handling.
And, like, part of the budget is, like, we have to keep a certain amount of money just in the bank unspent, just in case.
Yep.
I don't like that part.
Just if there's, like, a fire or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
I want to say, I saw the video. It is hysterical. I've seen a lot of Kickstarter videos that are not good. Your Kickstarter video was hysterical and really enjoyable to watch.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what the concept of the book is. You have a pretty simple pitch line for Dracula Gate.
It's a political comedy like Veep, but with monsters and ghosts and stuff.
Cool.
There it is.
That's it. That's the pitch line.
What happens is it's in this world, Transylvania is not the central region of Romania. It is a sovereign nation run by Dracula, king of the undead, and this is a world where monsters and the undead are real. And as time has moved on, humans have basically taken over the globe and are no longer afraid of them, and it's become sort of a sanctuary state for all the monsters of the world. And they become rather isolationist. And whenever Dracula's nephew goes to Canada and kills a TV star, it sparks an international incident because he, you know, claims diplomatic immunity, but he killed, like, a hero from, you know, Degrassi or whatever.
Is that the only place you know in Canada?
Degrassi High?
Degrassi High, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Junior High, right?
I don't know. I actually haven't seen it.
I'm actually only familiar with Degrassi High.
The person who got killed was Branson's idea.
Yeah. I wanted it to be Jake Goldsby, who played Toby on Degrassi.
Okay.
Who is, by all accounts, a very, like, sweet, and if he hears this, I want him to, like, he's a good dude, like, I'm a fan of his. And then I realized, it was, like, weird, I don't want to just kill this guy. I haven't, like, talked to him or asked his permission.
Right.
So we just have, like, an equivalent. It's just, like, we made up a name.
I completely forgot. Oh, Chaz Okerton.
Yeah, Chaz Okerton.
That is what I thought would be a good fake name for a Canadian TV star.
That sounds right. Yeah, no human has ever had that name.
Instead of Degrassi, I think it's called, like, Beaver's Crossing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is accurate.
So what, in the span of the book, do they call it Dracula Gate in the book?
Or is it given a I don't think those words. No one ever says the word Dracula Gate in the
okay.
book.
Okay. All right, yeah. So, but it's...
They never, like, look out to the reader and say, Dracula Gate.
They never said, I guess in the end, it was Dracula Gate.
A character kicks the ground, like, we got a real Dracula Gate on our hands.
Well, I know you guys have comedy chops from comic books, but doing something like Veep, particularly because that's part of the pitch line, there's a very different pace to that sort of thing when you're doing it on TV versus on the still page. So how much of that are you able to channel for the tone?
That's the fact that, like, trying to do something that's chattier than a normal comic was definitely something at the forefront of my mind. And so I'm just always trying to look for opportunities to try to make it more dynamic and more comic booky. Like, we have a scene where when they arrive and when the diplomats arrive in Transylvania, like, suddenly, like, they're plunged into, like, eternal night and, like, a monster appears in the plane. It's like, oh, this is... has nothing to do with the actual plot, but we need to show something happening that's not just them, like, having a witty insult back and forth.
There's just so much. I mean, like, I've been watching a lot of West Wing to, like, get into this, like, this world. And it's like, oh, I get why everybody makes fun of Aaron Sorkin for, like, a million reasons. But, like, I get why they make fun of... I'll take a shot at that, dude. I don't care. I don't care. Aaron Sorkin, if you're listening... But he, the thing with the, like, the walk and talk that everybody, like, made fun of for 2 years and then stopped thinking about, but, like, that, I get why they do that in television, because it's otherwise, it's just pages of characters, like, like, out-liberaling each other. Like, there's not a lot of, like, action on the show, so it's like, oh, how do you do that in a comic context?
Yeah, I think, like our preview pages that we put up is a phone conversation, and, like, it's just like, how many different angles can we put on this person standing in their office?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it was even that. It was like little things. It was like, oh, cool. We'll change the color scheme between, like, DC and Transylvania. It was like, in that way, we'll see. It's like, oh, these are two different worlds talking to each other. It's like the thing Chris was talking about. It was like, we have, like, they're flying into Transylvania and the moon turns, like, into a skull and cackles at them. It's like, oh, yeah, little, we just need to find, like, visual ways to convey, like, what's happening.
Remember that it's super fun that there's a lot of monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really easy to get bogged down.
Because the American diplomats, you know, they're bland because that's their job.
How much of it is real-world politics versus monster-world politics?
When you say real world, do you mean, like...
Well, I mean, I don't know if you noticed, we live in a highly politicized society right
now.
Yeah, no. Oh, it's come up.
We're not launching this comic in the Halloween and midterm season for... I think we'd really tried to ride a certain line of, like, we're not doing capital S satire, you know, but we are, like, we're trying to take certain things and have it be informed by the real world in a way that affects the monster world in a fun way. I think, like, a good example we have is, like, the Secretary of State in our comic is greatly informed by Rex Tillerson, in that he is, like, an international businessman, but instead of being an oil man, this is, like, the guy who took Kentucky Fried Chicken to Japan and made sure that that's what they eat on Christmas. And, like, this is the guy who invented the stuffed crust pizza. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm really good at international business, so I know how to talk to people. But it's like, it's a goofy fast food guy, not Rex Tillerson.
Well, when you do stuff like that, though, the world is changing so rapidly, constantly.
Yeah.
Like, I went into a meeting this morning, and when I came out, we no longer had anybody in the UN.
Yeah.
Like, it was a 10-minute meeting.
Yeah, I read that, too. I was like, we don't have an ambassador to the UN anymore. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right. It's Tuesday. There you go. So when you're doing stuff like that, but on a comic schedule, where not only do you have the Kickstarter, then you actually have to print the comic, it needs to come out, etc., is that a concern at all?
That the world will be over?
I think it's... I mean, yeah, well, like, we're definitely going to die before this comes to print. But like, oh, well, I mean, no, we won't die. We'll be alive, and, like, our backers
You're
will...
just using the money to build, like, a chamber so you can live underground. Yeah, right?
All I'm saying is if you give us money, you'll survive, and everyone else is doomed.
What level is that? How much do I need to donate for that?
That's the 200? That's pretty reasonable. 200.
200 bucks to live? That's a great deal.
How much is your life worth to you? I'm going to say $200.
What I want to know is how did Swan Boy and Dr. McNinja get together? Like, how did you guys become a brain trust for this thing?
our previous comics, or Branson's still making Swan Boy.
Yeah. That's true.
We met doing comedy at the Magna Theater. Improv.
Nice.
And sketch. Branson directed my sketch team Wendigo for a while. I'm personally, I find that any time I wrote a sketch and Branson had something to say about it, it really clarified what was funny about it in a way. And I just really like working with him because I think my stuff comes out funnier working with him. Mm-hmm. And now I'd love a compliment back.
I love the honesty.
I got one. Okay, so Chris, right? Great guy. We know him. We love him.
Yep.
I loved working with Chris on that sketch. This is a sketch team, Wendigo at the Magnet. It was a great team. Loved everyone on it. But, yeah,
So you're just going to repeat back what he said.
Yeah.
No. I've got different stuff. Chris would, it is going to be a lot of the same. It's just like, Chris would bring in sketches that was like, I can tap into these immediately. Like, I know exactly where he's coming from. I felt like our voices, like, really meshed well. I was a fan of Chris's.
I think
beforehand.
It was like to a point of annoyance with like other members of the team where like I'd be like, oh man, yeah, that sketch worked out really great with Branson's help. And they'd be like, yeah, well, like you guys really have a similar voice. Mine didn't do so well.
Yeah, I couldn't. I couldn't direct everybody. I'm not a director for all seasons. But like,
you got some email complaints occasionally.
I did. Let's hash it out. I dropped the ball on a few of those shows. But working with Chris always really nice, really easy.
So basically, you guys destroyed a sketch team together.
No. Branson destroyed the sketch team.
Okay, my bad.
If any one person should be held responsible, it is me.
Okay.
Cool, support their comic book, I guess.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of other things that are going on. Chris, you are working on a bunch of Marvel books right now, right?
Just one Marvel book at the moment. I'm writing Secret Agent Deadpool.
Nice.
And that's coming out on Comixology every other week. It's my first time doing that schedule.
So, let's talk about the Deadpool thing a little bit, because Deadpool's kind of an interesting place. There's the printed series coming out from Scotty Young. He's in a very different place than he was previously on Jerry Dugan's run.
Yeah.
But yours, it's not exactly outside continuity, but it definitely feels like more in line with classic Deadpool, but with that secret agent twist.
Thanks. I really did kind of try to secretly tuck him a little bit outside of continuity. I didn't think that the James Bond parody needed to take place with whatever is going on with the... what are the big guys in the Marvel Universe?
Avengers?
The Avengers?
No, the Celestials.
Oh, okay.
Because there's all this Celestial stuff happening in the Marvel Universe right now, including in Deadpool, where he's, like, going off to kill, like, one that rides on a motorcycle. I was like, this doesn't need... I don't need to have all this other continuity playing into it. Like, so, starting off, it was definitely informed by Scotty Young's take on Deadpool, which is, like, he's just a pure mercenary right now. Things aren't going so hot, and then I just took it from there and, like, just stuck him in Secret Agent world for, you know, 6 issues.
Oh, cool.
And I really, like, I mean, I know that, like, this isn't what they're doing right now, but, like, or maybe they are, but, like, I thought what Jerry did with making Deadpool, like, you know, likable, even a little bit was great. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was like, let's try to sympathize him a little bit, you know. So, yeah, that's probably what you're seeing.
Now, you also wrote Gwenpool mm-hmm. for a good long while. Obviously, very different.
Rest in peace,
actually,
Gwenpool.
No, she's doing great.
Yeah, sure.
She's doing good. Do you,
now that you're not writing.
Wait, I want to ask you another question. That do you, how do you feel about, now that you're no longer writing Gwenpool, seeing her like on the West Coast Avengers and other teams? You're like, that's
I feel like it's like once a month I get to like Skype in with my daughter at college. I'm like, oh, let's see how Sweetie's doing on the West Coast Avengers. She's kissing a boy! Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it a lot. I think that team is terrific. I think the book is great. So, I was like, when I saw it, I was really like relieved. I was like, okay, this isn't gonna suck.
Yeah, and there must be a level of it feeling good that like that is not a character that is immediately going away, but in fact being picked up and other people are running the bullet with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
cool. Sorry, I'm not sure if there was a question.
I don't think there was. Now you wrote Deadpool in the Gwenpool run, but.
Yes.
A lot of people look at Gwenpool and they're like, oh, that's Lady Deadpool. It's obviously not, but do you feel like...
I mean, we'd be lying if it wasn't kinda.
Well, what's the difference for you in writing Deadpool versus writing Gwenpool?
Oh, man, yeah. So, like, I really had to think about that in writing both of them over several different points. Because I wrote Deadpool for several issues here and there before I did Gwenpool. Probably why I got to write Gwenpool. Those random Deadpool issues. But... And I was able to, like, do everything I wanted to do with that. Like, anything I would want to do with Deadpool but maybe couldn't do or was, like, I'd do something with him that, like, other writers wouldn't. Like, I could just do that with Gwenpool. Like, the style that I liked her breaking the fourth wall in, you know, I would want to do that with Deadpool but couldn't. And now I could do it with Gwenpool. And then it was, like, getting to write that for two, three years, it was, like, oh, I kind of got everything I ever wanted to do with Deadpool out of the way. And then I got offered a Deadpool miniseries, and I was like, oh, man, I've never gotten to write six issues in a row of Deadpool. So I really had to reexamine what I thought of him. And honestly, the movie helped that a lot. I thought the movie clarified his character so much and, like,
cool.
Is, like, what made him, like, funny and what made him likable and, like, how he relates to everything else in the world. And it was like, oh, just, like, have him be, like, the voice of a commentary of sorts on a genre, and he's like, that's what he does for superheroes. Let's do that with James Bond instead. And honestly, a bigger challenge there was making it not Austin Powers, mm-hmm. you know, because that's what that did, obviously.
Cool. And you also have another big book that's coming up pretty soon. You're doing the Wet Hot American Summer graphic novel,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
What's the deal with that?
That's been written. So Boom just got the license to make a Wet Hot American Summer graphic novel. I don't know who was clamoring for it ever, but but I'm excited to know it exists now, even more so that I did it. They wanted another story set at the camp, and I pitched a bunch, and they went with one, and then I snuck in details that I liked from the other pitches they rejected anyway. It's been like, I wrote it like a year ago and it's finally coming out. Trying to be like, what is the plot?
Well, Chris, did you have any of your own summer camp experience to draw on?
Oh,
Branson. Oh, beautiful.
He's back.
Oh, man. The pre-interview that is our friendship. I based a lot of it off of my own time working on a summer camp.
Oh.
Much in the same way that David Wayne did for the movie. So, mm-hmm. like, for example, we had a particularly disastrous camp inspection one year whenever I worked at a Boy Scout camp. And I basically based the book off of a disastrous inspection that threatens to shut the camp down. So, and one of the things was, like, when we were, like, just their staff members setting up the camp, one of the staffers built a rickety bike ramp out of, like, shipping pallets.
Oh, no.
At the bottom of a hill leading out onto the lake. And, like, it was a lot of fun jumping your bike into the lake. And then we accidentally left it up whenever the inspector came around. And it was like, what is this bike ramp doing here? Like, this is major points off. So I decided just to have that be in the book. And that's one of the things that gets found. And then when the inspector was around, like, I was on the radio like, oh, I don't have a first aid kit in the handicraft department. I need that first aid kit before the inspector comes by. And then I found out that I'm broadcasting this, like, to a radio that's, like, just feet away from this inspector.
Oh, okay. So you went... actually went to a camp in an 80s comedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the secret about working at a camp. It's always that. It's always that 80s comedy. Yeah, so I put in a lot of details from my own time working at the summer camp.
Continuity-wise, for those who are not completely familiar with Wet Hot American Summer or tangentially kind of remember it, there's the movie. There was this TV series that takes place on the last day of camp.
Yeah.
There's a TV series that takes place on the first day of camp.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a TV series that takes place 10 years later. Where does this fall in the line of that continuity?
This happens on the last day of the first week of camp of the summer of 1981.
Wow.
Okay.
When I first pitched, they like the notes from the licensor, and I guess I was getting notes from the producer of the movie, and he was like, he needs to nail down when this happens. And everyone has asked what day of the summer or not it happens. I'm like, well, I'm glad we really made sure to get that exactly down. I was like, I don't know, sometime in the middle of the summer? Like, yeah. No, get wow. It exactly right, because we only have so much time in this continuity to play with, and you stake out your day, and it's that day.
Plus, they have a couple more TV shows coming out about those other days, I'm sure.
I think so, yeah.
Did you interact with, like, David Wayne and Gerardo?
Nope. that was part of what sold me on it. They're like, yeah, and like Wayne and Showalter, like they really want to collaborate, and they're up there. We don't know how busy they are, but you'll probably just. I haven't talked to them at all, and I'm hoping eventually someday. Like, I have a friend who does like production for award shows and stuff like that, and was Michael Showalter's handler for a day, and like I tell him like, oh, my buddy's writing that comic book, and Showalter was like, yeah, it looks good. I was like, ah, great. Okay, good. There, that's what I got.
If you want, I don't know if he still lives there, but I used to bump into Michael Showalter all the time around the PC Richards in Brooklyn, so I can just, like, hang out there. And
so did I, actually.
Oh, you really?
Yeah, no, we used to live pretty close together, and, like, he literally sat down next to me on the subway one time. I was, like, just, like, staring, like not staring at him, staring at him.
And
so,
then you were like, I'm going to write a comic book based on your property someday.
I wish I thought to say that.
Oh, man. That would have really looped around a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no, the first time I ran into him on the subway, because it did happen a lot. The first time, like, we both got off in Union Square, and I was like, Michael? And he's like, he was freaked out immediately, of course, because this child just walked up to him and said his name. And I was like, I really enjoy your work. And he was like, thanks. I was like, yeah. I gave him a thumbs up, and I ran away.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you think that happens to him?
He sure gave me the impression it doesn't happen often.
Oh, yeah. I saw Keenan right when I moved to New York, and I waved to him like an old friend. Because I forgot, it's like, I grew up with him, he didn't grow up with me, but like,
yep.
he handled it really well and was like, oh, I actually don't know you. And I was like, oh, of course. Like, how would you?
Oh, so it does happen to him a lot.
It happens to him. It must happen to him all the time. Great. He was very good about it.
The best was, when Stella was on TV, I saw Michael Ian Black on the street, and we were passing each other. And as I saw him across the street, I screamed, I love your show! And then, like, he acted like he didn't acknowledge it. And then when he passed, he just whispered in my ear, he went, thank you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ooh. So that was way cooler than Showalter's, like, terrified thing. But
my friend saw Paul McCartney one time on the street, like, oh, with nobody around him, just walking down the street. And he was like, you're, and Paul McCartney cut him off and said, you're right, I am, and kept going. Because he's been famous for like 100 years. Like, he's good at it.
Hmm. Yeah, I have a friend who worked with Paul McCartney in the studio at one point, and he was like, Paul McCartney's really good at knowing that this is the time in your life when you meet Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. So when
comic books, right?
What?
Comic books, eh?
Yeah, let's get back to that. When Out American Summer is coming out...
November. I don't know which specific Wednesday in November.
But all right,
November.
But one of the Wednesdays in November. Also, your comic book, where can people check that out?
Swan Boy?
Yeah.
Oh, they can check it out at swanboy.com.
All right, there we
I'm
go.
I'm very outclassed with like projects that we're working on
now. Well, what's Swan Boy about?
Swan Boy is about a swan who's he's a lot like me. He's he's just a swan living in New York trying to get by.
I like the description you gave one time that's like Swan Boy is the adult Looney Tunes version of you.
Yeah, he is. Oh, I didn't remember I had said that. He is like a...
Take that to your producer's meetings, you know?
I certainly will. Yeah, Swan Boy is the adult Looney Tunes version of me.
Oh, cool.
Have you guys thought really about well dressing up as each other's managers and pretending to be each other's managers so you can, like, prompt each other on the interview stuff?
I can honestly say we've never thought about doing that.
We've never thought about that.
Well, you should try it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Swan Boy, check that out. Wet Hot American Summer, November. Dracula Gate on Kickstarter right
now. Oh, yes.
Now.
Let's, yeah, if it doesn't make the goal, we're not making the book.
Jesus.
Yeah. That's how Kickstarters work.
No, I know.
It's
but
not an Indiegogo where you just get some of the money. No, we're committed. If we don't make that budget, the book doesn't happen. It would be disastrous.
That's true. So we're doing pretty well, but we're not doing well enough.
No, not
donate.
Well enough. It's not there. I still check it all day long.
Mm-hmm. Well, just a reminder, if you donate $200, you'll survive. So
yep, you'll live.
That should get you.
You can also like throw in like $30 and get the book.
Yeah, you can get the book and die.
If I don't survive, yeah, the book's not going to matter that much. But thank you. I appreciate it. Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the Stack. Yeah. And in the Stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that came out this week. Let's kick it off with this one. Cosmic Ghost Rider number 4 from Marvel Comics.
Thank you. You'll have to hand
now,
me. I read it.
Yeah. Oh. Chris, you've read it.
I love Cosmic Ghost Rider.
It's great. Branson, you've
just
never
give me two
read
minutes.
It. Wait, before you flip it open.
Oh.
Before you flip it open, you wanted to describe it to him, right?
Yeah, so Branson, you don't read a lot of the monthly superhero comic books.
I really don't, no.
Okay, so Cosmic Ghost Rider, you're familiar with Ghost Rider.
I'm familiar with the Nicolas Cage movie, yeah.
Spirit of Vengeance, mm-hmm. Flaming Skull, Rides a Motorcycle.
Yeah, got it. He's from like a million tattoos.
Yeah, he's the man from a million tattoos.
Yeah.
You know who else is on a lot of tattoos? The Punisher.
Oh, even more. That guy is the number one with a bullet.
Okay, so what if I told you that the Punisher died trying to kill Thanos, the guy from the Avengers movies?
Oh, who I thought was the devil when I watched the first Avengers movie.
Funny you say that.
Yeah.
Is interesting. So the devil brings back the Punisher saying, you can be a Ghost Rider and get vengeance on Thanos.
But isn't there already a Ghost Rider?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
And then he also becomes the Herald of Galactus, like the Silver Surfer.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah, so he rides his flaming motorcycle through space.
And he tells planets that they're doomed?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And then he kills Thanos, and in this story, he goes back in time to kill baby Thanos, like you'd go back in time to kill baby
Hitler. Yeah.
But instead, he decides to raise him to be a good person, and you find out in this issue, he accidentally raised Thanos to be the Punisher.
No! Oh, okay. I'm reading. I'm having a good time.
It's great. This book is great. You've been loving this book, right?
Yeah, I just can't believe it's still going on. Like, at first, when it first started, I was like, okay, this will be a fun couple of issues. But the craziness has just gone off of the roof.
Well, so this issue, the end of the last issue, we found out that Thanos is the Punisher, and he comes back and is like, hey, Dad, I got to show you something. Because Frank Castle, the Punisher, who is Cosmic Ghost Rider, is standing there with baby Thanos. So they go to the current timeline where it turns out that not only is Thanos the Punisher, he saved the life of Frank Castle and his family.
Yeah, so but you're like, oh, this is unbelievable. Because Frank Castle has his family, they're not murdered. He doesn't have to go off on this horrible killing spree. But then it, like, zooms out and goes, everybody else is living a nightmare, and only Frank Castle's family is living this beautiful life in this field and has a house. Everybody else is in these, like, crazy tenant buildings where they're murdering each other to stay alive.
So you're a huge Punisher fan.
Yep.
The choice that is now... yes, Punisher Shrine. The choice that's now ahead of Frank Castle, the Cosmic Ghost Rider, yes, is that if he wants to save everybody else in the world, he's going to have to kill his own family.
No, he has to kill his son, who is now the Punisher Thanos of this world.
And also, this world, it kind of makes him into a Judge Dredd.
Right.
Yeah.
They snuck in a third one.
the Sylvester Stallone, yeah, Rob Schneider movie, right?
Yeah. Well, they took all of the best movies, that Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, mixed them together and made a great comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's absolutely crazy. The art is really good as well.
Yeah. Art really sells
I'm loving this.
Yeah. Do you think you'll pick it up now, Branson?
I think I will.
Trade should be out soon.
I'll be honest. I'm a little confused about the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Of, which I think it's in its own.
Okay.
Like, it's not, though. Like, it takes place... I mean... Oh, don't tell him.
I mean, it is.
Though. Yeah, it's a totally different timeline.
It takes place in the broader timeline? When you guys whisper into a microphone, I can hear what you're saying.
Fuck. God damn it. Yeah, it messes completely with the timeline. Like the last issue, Cable kept coming back in time, and they repeatedly kept killing every hero in the Marvel Universe. But it somehow exists in the main continuity, but also not. It kind of doesn't matter. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Next one we're going to talk about is Doctor Strange number 6, also from Marvel Comics. Now, Doctor Strange has been in space for a good long while trying to get his magic back. He lost all of his magic. He's been on this. Comics are crazy, man.
I'm loving what I'm hearing.
So he's been with this alien princess, sorceress-type person on a quest to get his magic back.
Like an Indiana Jones alien.
Exactly. And they battled a bunch of other aliens just in order to save the Earth. Finally, he's the Sorcerer Supreme once more. So excited to get back home. And what got revealed at the end of the last issue is Doctor Strange is back on Earth and is like, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah.
So we pick up with Doctor Strange in his Sanctum Sanctorum. The other Doctor Strange is coming back from space, and we don't know exactly what's going on. What did you think about this issue?
Well, it was weird that he thought he could walk into his house and just, you know, take over somebody else's house, even though it's his, but there's a Doctor Strange that lives there. He's like, hey, get out of my house. And then
well,
he's
let
like,
me ask
wait,
you
no, this is my house. And they're like, no, I'm Doctor Strange.
Well, Pete, if you got home and there was another Pete there, and that Pete was like, this is my house,
right?
What would your reaction be?
I mean, that Pete would murder this Pete. I mean, that's definitely how
it would go. You're saying whoever is currently in Pete's
in the house is the right to get off my lawn. I'll shoot you. Yeah.
This is an interesting question. Do you think you're the kind of person that if there were two of you, it would come to that, like we have to kill the other one?
Well, for Pete, definitely.
Yeah, well, that's it. I can't imagine a world where there's two of me and I see that as anything but a bonus.
You think that's a bonus?
Yeah, it's like we can do like tricks and stuff. Like
wait, like what kind of tricks?
Like tricks? Like you have to go to my job today and I get to stay home?
Yeah, we trade off. Like you only have to go to work half as much. Like that seems.
I feel like I would almost, I mean, to the tricks point, I would almost immediately pull off a prestige.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
I think that's what I would do.
Have any of you, like, ever talked to a twin before? It seems like you think they're a lot more magical than they are. Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is a magic situation where there's another me, not like a twin.
Yeah, I think, like, if there's actual twins that exist and one of the twins gets home and sees the other two, they're not like, what the fuck are you doing in my house?
Well, I mean, that's what happened with the Prestige. They were just normal twins.
Oh, really?
Well, spoiler for the Prestige.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit that goes down that's weird. Like,
make some noise if you haven't seen the Prestige. Okay, we can talk about the Prestige then.
Someone at home listening to the podcast is screaming.
Just, no, stop. No, they can't.
After I already spoiled it.
Oh, they already gave up every other podcast because every other podcast has spoiled the Prestige.
Which I confuse the Prestige and the Illusionist.
Prestige is the good one.
Yeah. Okay.
They both
do. Okay,
come on, dude. Jessica Biel is fantastic.
She's in the Illusionist?
I don't remember anything about the Illusionist.
Oh, okay.
Prestige is great, though.
But the Prestige,
Yeah, it was great.
I'm glad we established that. That's great. Wait, if you had a twin, not a twin, if you came home and found your double, what would you do, Chris? What would you?
Oh, I've murdered many doubles already. this issue is a constant thorn in my side.
Yeah, and you've been enjoying the Doctor Strange series. How'd you feel about
this
issue?
Yeah, I have. I would love to. I would read like 30 issues of Doctor Strange in space. Like I think Wizard in Space is super fun. You know. I'm like, oh, I love this space wizard. And I'm like, that's what Jedis are, stupid. Like, I really would enjoy more of it. And I was honestly kind of sad that it seems to be kind of getting into a different plot on Earth now.
Yeah, I was also a little bummed that they resolved the two doctors thing immediately. I wanted that to go on for longer.
It seems, well, oh, like the mystery of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it felt like that was going to be a much longer running thing. And then the explanation seemed really complicated.
Yes.
Especially because I haven't read whatever it was that they were referring to.
Right, exactly. But that said, it's Mark Waid. There's a lot of trust built up there. I think he is going to do a good job, and I'm curious to see where it goes next. But I agree with you. The space stuff felt very different. It was very fun.
It felt like it was so big, and then I was like, oh, wow, that was only like 5 issues. Like it felt like he could have sustained a lot more story with that.
Also, yeah. I was surprised that Doctor Strange was so surprised that another version of him showed up at his house. Like, it's Doctor Strange, dude. He does weird shit all the time. Like, why is he?
I don't think he was surprised so much as he came in and immediately started fighting himself.
Right.
Which is what you would have done.
Right. That's why I was surprised that he did that, because I know that's what I would have done. Yeah. But then to see a magician who's, like, done so much creepier.
You both have facial hair. Do you think that's like part of it?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess every now and again, like, you just have to abide by superheroes' first encounter rules, which is that they fight.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, they're very violent, and I don't like superheroes.
There you go.
Great. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience question.
Oh, yeah. We've got some great gifts to give out today.
We do. We have some graphic novels and things.
We've got an actual novel, and then we've got two stacks of comics. One of the stacks comes with a poster.
Ooh. And even on the comic book show, prose novels get more respect than comic books.
Wait, it's
actual book and stupid graphic novel.
Hey, wait. I did not say stupid.
I did.
It is. It's a graphic novel, though. It's just bigger than...
It says a novel. It says right on the cover.
I know, but it's
Home After Dark, a novel.
Graphic novels are novels, Pete.
Fuck you, they are.
Yeah,
I don't know why you're complaining.
I mean, to
about
be
it.
Fair, fuck you, they are.
Fair point. Cool. I saw this hand shoot up. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin. Definitely the only one. Definitely.
I can't believe I'm finally meeting the Kevin.
The Kevin. It's an honor.
Going off of the wet American summer, mm-hmm. What are some properties that have never been made into graphic novels that you think could really sustain a graphic novel format or even an ongoing comic? And it's up to you if you want to put it in space.
Oh, man. Ooh, that changes everything.
Did you want an actual novel, a graphic novel, or a stack of comics?
Graphic novel.
All right.
Which could be either of those things because they're both graphic novels. Okay.
Has Mistborn been adapted into a comic book? Do you guys
I don't think so. Mistborn? I don't think it has.
By Brandon Sanderson? That's like, it's got a tremendous visual potential, that book, the way that he describes the way the... It's like, Mistborn is about, like, these magic users that are basically superheroes in a medieval world, and, like, it's like a lot of action, very visual. I think it would make a great comic book.
I thought you were making fun of the Bourne movies. I thought you were calling it Mistborn.
I mean, on the same bent,
a lot of Brandon Sanderson's stuff is very visual. There's the Steelheart series, which... Mm-hmm. It's very much on the nose, but if you haven't read it, it's like a post-apocalyptic superhero series. The first sentence, I'm forgetting exactly what it is, it's, I saw Steelheart bleed, and it just follows this kid whose dad was killed by the superhero named Steelheart. He's planned his entire life to kill Steelheart. He ends up as part of a group who's fighting back against these evil superheroes. It's very well fleshed out. It's a lot of fun, particularly if you like superhero comic books. That might be a good one as well.
And all, you know, being a Sanderson book, it is kind of in space, right? No, isn't that the thing? Like, they're all, like, sort of connected
in
the same, like, galaxy or something?
Ooh, maybe. I didn't know that.
I'd like to do, I mean, I don't know if these have been adapted or not, but the Final Destination movies.
Oh, my God.
As, like, just, like, visual, like, long, like, Rube Goldberg machines of just, like, death. Like, I would love to write a, like, 200-page book of those.
That's great. Pete, do you have one?
It started as a book and then was a movie, but The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I think, would be cool as a comic book.
Have those ever been comic books? Does anybody
know? I don't
think
so.
I would be stunned if nobody ever picked up that license, because it's been licensed in so many other ways.
The other one that I was thinking of, this is just top of mind because I saw a promo for a new episode of it today. Has anybody seen Neo Yokio on Netflix?
Yeah.
It's this insane anime show. Jaden Smith stars in it, is this depressed dude that's obsessed with Toblerones. Jude Law plays his robot butler. It's a lot of fun, but it's so far just been like 6 episodes of a Netflix series. I think it's something that would work real well for comics. So, and it could be in space. Let's get another question. You're going to get some free comics. Absolutely anybody. It can be a question about anything, about comic books, about your love life, about the government. Let's really get into politics here. Let's really talk about it, guys. Absolutely anything. Yes, you.
Oh,
please
do. You asked the wrong question at the end.
First of all, I'm from Pittsburgh.
Like, oh, wow. What's up? Where in Pittsburgh?
Well, originally McKees Rocks, but now I live like south.
Okay, yeah. I lived in Squirrel Hill for 2 years.
Washington.
Yeah,
around there, around that area. Anyway, I don't know if it's already out or not, but when is there going to be, like, in the vein of, like, Danzig and Rollins and Trump and Putin, like, a comic book? Don't you think that would be a pretty good idea, or do you think...
Oh, like the Henry and Glenn forever and ever?
Yeah.
I bet that...
Like a short run, like that would be like a good idea. I mean,
yeah, of those two, just like in a relationship. I think my favorite thing of the Henry and Glenn Forever and Ever is like what a healthy relationship it is. Like they really like are drawn and written to like love each other, which is I would have such a difficult time buying that with Trump and Putin.
I heard Glenn got mad, but Henry.
Last I had heard was somebody like showed it to Henry Rollins, and they're like. Yeah, they were like, what would Glenn Danzig think of this? And he was like, it's better for everyone if he never sees this.
But I heard that he got, like, upset about it.
Oh, yeah. When you're in a duo with Henry Rollins and you're the less reasonable one, like, you've fucked up in big time.
So I imagine Putin would probably be Rollins and then Trump would probably be Danzig.
Yeah, I guess so.
A comparison that none of those people would like.
Yeah, every single one of those four people would hate that.
Did you want a stack of comics or an actual novel?
It's... Jesus, I just want to warn you, it's not a novel, it's a graphic novel.
It's a lesser novel.
Yeah, it's
as we've established
it's not
on
as
this
good.
Show. Non-illustrated.
Yeah, it's only by the award-winning author, David Small. Okay, let's get another question. Absolutely anybody, anything?
Boothman will ask a question. Boothman.
Oh, Boothman, yeah. Ooh,
Boothman.
I just want to know, how was your Comic-Con?
Oh, great question. Now, I know, Chris, you didn't get to go.
Didn't go to that Comic-Con.
Nice. Branson, did you?
I also didn't go to Comic-Con.
All right, there we go.
I went last year for the first time.
Yeah?
What'd you think?
It was fun. I mean, it was extremely overwhelming. I get why I didn't go this year. But it's, because it's a lot. It's just, like, a lot of input in a very tight space. And you're waiting in line a lot, and you're never going on a ride. So it's, like... my body is like, oh, I'm at Disney World right now, and then there's no, like, physical release of going on a line. So you just, like, everyone gets really amped up. But the best part was there's that one aisle of, like, real old-timers, just, like, 200-year-old men with, like, tinted sunglasses. So it's like, yeah, I'll sign. It's like they're signing comic books that aren't their own. It's like, I'll sign whatever you put in front of me. Like, those guys ruled. That was, like, a real highlight for me.
What the...
Is this not... Did I, like, stumble into, like, a...
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
I mean, you specifically described Stan Lee. Tinted sunglasses, will sign comics he had nothing to do with.
Yeah. There were, like, a lot of, like, Stan Lee genre dudes of, like, about his, like, make and model.
Yeah, I bet Steranko is probably the same situation.
I know what you're talking about. I also know why Pete is upset, because he's very protective of Artist Alley in particular.
This wasn't Artist Alley. This was,
oh,
like...
Really?
This was, like, near Toys. There were just like a
really?
Bunch of, yeah, there were just like a lot of old men signing things, and I was like having a time.
Did you like wander down some path where suddenly everybody disappeared and suddenly you were in a
forest? Yeah, I had to answer a riddle to keep walking. Yeah.
It was like you made a deal and like you have no soul and whatever. That's
yeah, he said it was overwhelming.
Yeah. All right. What about your experience, Pete?
I thought it was a great time. I think the favorite, I always like to pick a favorite costume. My favorite was a family dressed up as the Mario Brothers, and the father had a little, like, made pipe, and the baby's head would stick out every once in a while, and it had, like, a flower with teeth on it, and I thought that was adorable.
That's really sweet.
That's cute.
Yeah, that is cute.
Yeah, and I was like, you win, sir. Congratulations.
And you did a bunch of interviews as well. We only got to be there a little bit, but I met up with Pete Saturday morning. We walked around Artist Alley a little bit. Chatting with people. We recorded a quick podcast there, and then you went back on Sunday all by yourself.
Yeah, I went back on Sunday, met this Canadian Jack dude who was like, hey, and I was like, oh, shit, this is it. I said something to the wrong person, and he was like, I love your show, man. I was like, oh, cool.
That's great.
Yeah. Aggressive for a Canadian dude.
Yeah.
But he was, like, super jacked and had one of those curly mustaches.
How'd you know he was Canadian?
He kept talking about it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's how you know.
Yeah.
Physically, you described it like turn of the century strongman.
Yeah, it was like he was confusing to look at. There was because he was like super nerdy but super jacked, and then it was like old timey but talked very young
He's
and
a
hip.
Fake nerd boy.
Yeah, I won't. You know.
I'm probably listening right now.
I'm kidding. I don't believe in such things.
Yeah, I don't know. Pete and I hung out. I went to a bunch of panels, which was fun. I got to go to the Riverdale panel, which
was
so good. It was great. My absolute favorite thing at cons beyond, like, I don't actually like walking around the floor because it gets overwhelming. I was telling Pete we were walking around that, like,
yeah, you get very, like, where are we going? What are we doing?
The second I walk onto the con floor, it's too many things, and I feel like I get immediately my eyes unfocus. I just don't know where I'm heading first. But panels, particularly when you're watching something with diehard fans who love something, that's a wonderful experience. There's the things that I hate that I've seen. Like, I do not like Once Upon a Time at all. I had to cover it for work for a bunch of years. But I went to see a Once Upon a Time panel, and I remember very specifically, they showed an episode, and people were reacting like cartoons, like not how you do it in real life, but how you do it in cartoons, where
their
somebody
hearts were like thumping out of their chest.
Well, their tongues rolled out.
Howling
at
the moon.
It was disgusting. No, they reacted like a romantic thing would happen on screen. Somebody, they'd all go literally like, oh. And then something else, somebody would be like, maybe I do still love you. And they'd all go, ooh, all in time. And it was wonderful. Like, they loved the show, and I think that was fantastic. But the Riverdale panel, because I do really enjoy Riverdale being in there, it makes you even more connected to it. They showed off the first act for the premiere, and two things happen in the first act. One thing where, like, a character steps up, and one, there's a character entrance. People lost their minds, and being in the room with a couple of thousand people all losing their minds about something and being emotionally in the same place at the same time is pretty wonderful. It's a cool feeling. So nice. I like that. There you go.
Who entered? Are you allowed to spoil it?
Yeah, I can say it's Cheryl Blossom's entrance.
Oh my God.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But her entrance to the premiere, for anybody who is fan, is
she has great entrances all the time on the show.
Phenomenally, ridiculously over the top. That show's ridiculous. Cool. I think we can take one more question. We probably have time for if anybody has anything. Anybody?
You had your hand up. Come on, yeah.
All
right. What is your name? What's your question? Also, nice Riverdale shirt.
Thanks. I've come as Archie and his father.
Oh.
I'm John, and I just want to know, like, how much did writing Dr. McNinja help you with Deadpool? Because I see them as kind of similar. But
yeah,
with
I can answer this.
Yeah, Branson, can you take this one?
Yeah. I know. I'm not equipped.
Damn right.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. They are certainly very similar. That they are jokey comic book characters with masks and swords. Very self-aware. Dr. Ninja definitely broke the fourth wall a few times. You know, we did a whole thing about the inverse ninja law, which is that, you know, you fight a single ninja, they're an unstoppable killer, but if you're fighting 50 ninjas, you know, they're just nothing. They're you know, cannon fodder. And it was writing Dr. McNinja that led to writing Deadpool for the first time. The Deadpool editor, Jordan White, picked up the Dr. McNinja collections, and we met at a convention, and eventually I got hired to write Deadpool Fear Itself whenever Daniel Way didn't want to. So they're definitely similar. And it was like, and writing both of them, much like writing Gwenpool and Deadpool, I really had to start thinking about how to make them different. Which I think basically meant making Dr. Meninja less crazy and Deadpool more crazy. Yeah, that's probably the answer.
Cool. All right, that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
Yay.
We're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, this is an opportunity for you, the audience, to win a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand will get you $25 free.
You just got to walk down and stand here and you get $25.
$25 free. Yes, you, sir. First hand up guy. Come on down.
Very shy.
Yeah, this audience is shy. Nobody wants $25 free.
There you go.
Branson and Chrissy did.
All right. So remind the us and the audience what your name is.
My name is Pete. This is actually my first podcast.
Wait, your name is Pete?
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck?
Uh-oh.
Pete? Is this some kind of weird...
I don't know.
What's your last name, Pete?
McMahon.
Okay, thank God. All right.
That would have really freaked me out if you had the same last name as me. I'm sorry. I'm looking you up and down. I'm like, is this my possible future? I don't know. All right. So, Pete, I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours. All right. Here we go. Today's trivia is on Dracula Gate. So as long as you've seen the video, paid attention during the show, you'll be fine.
Read the book that doesn't exist yet.
Yep. Okay. On the Kickstarter, how do they describe this graphic novel? Is it a political comedy scare extravaganza? Is it B, Vampires Meets Watergate? Or is it C, Humberto Ramos? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick B or C and not get $25.
A.
A is correct.
All right. We stumbled on that, like, shooting the video, too. So, doing that take was saying political comedy scare extravaganza was very difficult.
Does not roll off the tongue.
Yeah, I was impressed. Here we go. One of the cool Kickstarter options you get or you can buy is it a ghost sticker, B, drawn into the comic as a monster or as yourself, or is it C, Gabriel Rodriguez? So it's either A, or you should pick B.
B.
That is correct.
That's what I would have picked.
Yeah, one of the nice prizes you get is you get drawn in as a monster or yourself, which I thought was a cool thing.
Yeah, it's very popular. That one's selling out quick.
Yeah. All right. So move fast.
All right, here we go. The last one. Who makes a cameo at the end of this Kickstarter video? Is it A, the guy they killed in the video, B, Dracula, or is it C, Justin Sucks Woolly Mammoth Balls? So it's either A, which would be correct, and you would win $25, or you could pick B or C.
You know what, Pete? I'm on a lucky streak. I'm going to go with A again.
A again, $25, $3. I got a hug from Pete.
Thanks. That's great.
We try to get Justin Sucks Balls, but like he's really busy.
He is.
That's rough.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to Catwoman number 4,
okay,
as well as X-23 number 5.
Great. Yep. I am looking forward to Murder Falcon number 1.
Oh, my God.
Are you talking about the new greatest comic that ever came out?
I am talking about the newest greatest comic that ever came out.
Absolutely magical.
Murder Falcon number 1 is coming out from Image Comics. I don't want to say much more about it, though. You can kind of figure out what's going on from the title.
It looks incredible. I'm fully on board.
We have a review coming out in our regular Wednesday morning 9 a.m. podcast, The Stack. We'll have a bunch more reviews. But
have you read it already?
Yeah. Early review. It's phenomenal.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's fantastic. I don't want to say anything about it, but if you like action, if you like emotion, if you're a fan of metal, definitely pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of metal, but I am a fan of the other two, so there you go. Branson, plug your stuff. What should people be checking out again?
You should be checking out swanboy.com is my is my website with my...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you should check that. You should also check out Branson-Reese.com. It's my personal website. Got all my other comics up on there.
Do a Google image search for One Fear.
Yeah, do that. That's the meme I accidentally made that's a meme now. Those are my big... You can also go to my TeePublic, Branson Reese on TeePublic. I'm selling shirts. If you don't have money to give to the Kickstarter... At least you got money to give to the shirts.
You don't have any shirts that have a guy taking a shit out of his neck, do you?
Oh, yeah, but you don't have to buy that one. There are other shirts. But if that just sparks something in you and you're like, I want a shirt with, like, it's like a motivational, like a guy that's saying, like, never give up. I forced shit out of my neck. I do have that as an option.
I just can't believe anyone has bought it.
I have sold 30 of those shirts.
I can't believe 30 people have bought that.
I've gotten close to paying rent off of that
shirt. I guarantee you not all 30 of them have worn the shirt after they looked at it and realized they made that decision.
It's led to 30 divorces.
Chris, what about your stuff? Plug your stuff again.
Oh, okay. All right, great. So coming out right now in stores, we have Regular Show 25 Years Later, which we didn't talk about at all. It's a regular show. It happens after the boys are done with the TV show. And we also have
how many years later?
25.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Yeah. How'd you guess that?
I just figured it out.
Oh, you're amazing. Oh, anyway, yeah. And we have Secret Age Deadpool, which we talked about. That's on Comixology every other week. That comes out this week. No, next week. Every other week. It's really messing up my schedule. And then, we got DraculaGate.com for the Kickstarter. You can read all of the 11 years of old Dr. McNinjas at DrMcNinja.com. And Wet Hot American Summer coming out in November. I was about to plug a book that hasn't been announced yet. Would have been a real big trouble. The end for me.
Great. All right, we'll move on then instead. A couple of things we want to plug before we go. As we mentioned, our Riverdale podcast, Riverdale After Dark, will be back tomorrow after the premiere. It'll go up in its own dedicated feed, so wherever you want to pick it up, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, other places I'm not thinking of, whatever it is, you can probably listen to it there. Also, this show and other shows we do are free to listen to and free to come see, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do, so if you want to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Check out the podcast, comicbookclublive.com. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Branson for being on the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks,
we
everybody.
We want to thank Chris.
Thank Woo-hoo. You.
We want to thank John and Aaron.
Yeah.
Give them a big round of applause. Thank you for bringing cupcakes.
Good.
You guys are amazing. We want to thank Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime. Yeah.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys for every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out.